Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
O Come, Emmanuel was first published in 1850 in England. It is a simple, reverent tribute to the birth of Christ and to the fulfillment of God's promise to deliver his children from sin. Hear the words of just two of the verses of that carol. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Here's the chorus. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. This carol, probably more than any other, best expresses the feeling of longing, waiting, and even yearning that is encapsulated all in this Advent season. It is a song for the season of hope. You know, it has been said that the greatest personal energy source in the world is hope. Did you catch that? The greatest personal energy source. Nothing will ignite you more. Nothing will sustain you more than hope. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that the three most important things in the world are faith, hope, and love. Hope is to our spirits what oxygen is to our lungs. Hope is actually what is offered in the text selected on today. Let me introduce you quickly to one of the really bad kings of the Bible and give you the background of one of the great Old Testament prophecies of our Messiah. Things are, at the moment of this text, hopeless in captive Israel. An enemy army is laying siege to Jerusalem, and Israel's army is no match for them. King Ahaz craters and caves into despair, even sacrifices one of his own sons to a pagan god trying to call for supernatural help. At this moment, Ahaz is trying to decide between two strategies for saving Jerusalem. Do you sit tight and trust God to deliver the people? Or do you dispatch a messenger to form an alliance with the enemy of your enemy? You know, it's something what we will do as a strategy when the better thing for us to do is to trust God. It's really interesting how many other things we can come up with as an alternative to just trusting and hoping in God. As a matter of fact, Assyria, the greatest nation on earth at that time, was the enemy with whom Ahaz is seeking an alliance. An alliance with Assyria would ensure victory over their local roughnecks, but it comes with the price tag of Israel having to become a vassal state of Assyria, a territory of Assyria. Yes, you can at times find things that will be for you alternatives to trusting God, but will that thing own you because you trusted it? I'll run that question by you one more time. You know, a lot of us, we hesitate to trust God, and so we come up with other strategies. But the danger, Elder Rhett, in allowing other strategies to be your source or your scheme for victory outside of God is because you become the territory, the property of whatever you trust. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying on this morning? Ahaz is now making the rounds, inspecting the city's water supply, trying to determine how long they can hold out. All of a sudden, who appears but the prophet Isaiah, who says this to him: King Ahaz, put your hope in God. Don't make the deal with Assyria. God is willing to rescue us. In fact, God told me, this is what the prophet Isaiah says to the king: God told me to tell you to ask for a sign. Any sign that you want.
from highest heaven to lowest hell. Ask God for proof that he's going to bring you out. I ain't got time to play with that right there, but it does highlight something pretty immediate for us, that real consequence that God expects us to hope in him. Can I just make sure that you grab that you who say you belong to him, when circumstances hit your life, it is the expectation of the sovereign that before you look anywhere else, you will look only to him. Let me help you on the left side. It is the expectation of God that when trouble and tests and trials come, when sickness hits your body, when calamity has been introduced into your experience, God sits from heaven and says, now I want you to hope in me. We can't grab that because what's really hard for us is that a lot of us, most folk, can't even hope in God because they've already put that hope in someone else. And hope, unlike what we might like to believe, is not bipolar. Let me try that for you one more time. Hope, y'all ain't catch that. You didn't get it. Phyllis, hope is not bipolar. You can't put it all in one area and then the very next day try to switch it and put it in something else. No, see, hope has this magnetic attribute to it. The moment you determine where you will put your hope, it sticks to that. It's why sometimes even when you've tried one thing and it didn't work because you had so much hope in it, even though you know it didn't work, you go right back to it as an option. Y'all ain't talking to me, it's fine. The next time that calamity comes, because you invested so much hope into it, even when it doesn't work, your thinking is maybe this time. I wish I could talk to you, but see, you got your praise on, so now you're a little tired. You ain't really hearing what I'm saying. I understand. Trust me. I don't even want them to sing those kind of songs. I'm all out of breath over here trying to sing and dance, and I'm like, let me just stop for a second because I'm going to need all this energy in a minute. But it's real. It's real. We have this real crazy thing that we do when we're in trouble. We find many times the easiest thing to hope in, not the most steadfast. And yet God, who's got a proven resume, Sister Candy, he says to you and to I, hope in me. Don't even look for anything else. Don't even try to find another option. He says to Isaiah, tell Ahaz, ask for a sign. He literally says to him, whatever it will take for you to hope in God, tell him. Anybody hearing that? Like, really, what do you need from God, Aisha, in order for you to hope in him? What do you need from him, Crystal, in order for you to hope in him? What do you need God to do in order for you to never look outside of him ever again? This is the question that he is asking. He's saying, tell me what would be enough proof. Oh, my God. What would be enough proof? Ahaz tries to play humble. He says, oh, I couldn't ask God for anything. I wouldn't bother. Look at verse 12. He said, no. I will not test the Lord like that. You find out later that it's really hypocrisy that fills his mouth in that moment, and he speaks really in a duplicitous way. That is not what he's really feeling. What he's really feeling is, it doesn't make sense for me to test God because I already know I don't trust him. I ain't got enough time to play with that either. So he tells the prophet, I can't bother asking God for a sign. Then verse 13 comes, and it is for me a different kind of encouragement, because in that moment, Isaiah the prophet is frustrated, and he turns his attention away from King Ahaz, and he talks to everybody who can hear him, and he speaks words that cut straight to the heart. He says to the entire royal family of David, isn't it enough that you exhaust human patience? Must you also exhaust the patience of God? Think about this. Now, this is gonna hurt. Are you ready? Huh? You're not ready. Lean in. Here it is. It's a drain on the patience of God when you don't hope in him. Carla, every time you call a friend before you call your father, it drains the patience of God. And here we are wondering why, when we finally decide to run to him, it seems like it takes a long time for him to answer. It's because maybe the patience has to be built back up because we've drained it with our inability to trust him from the start. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Some of you know what it's like to have the answer, to have the remedy, and people who you are close to go to everybody else but you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. My daughter Brianna, I don't remember what it was she was trying to do. She's always trying to do something in her room, and I'm trying to figure out still to this day, Lady Kim, why she's getting so comfortable. She's redecorating, and she's, you know, bringing in knickknacks, and she wants to repaint this, and she needs a new bed, and she's want change. I'm like, well, but how long you plan on being here? Every change you make, it's like an extension on the lease. Girl, we just tried to get you out of here. And so the plan that we've come up with, don't tell the children, the plan we've come up with is that we're just going to, in about 2 years, buy another house and not give them a key. We're not going to even tell them we're moving. We're going to leave for work one day and just not come back. They're old enough now. They'll figure it out. But Brianna wanted to put something up in a room, and in true father fashion, when she asked me, I said, I'll get to it. Right? She wanted me to put something up in the room, build something. I don't know what it was. Hang something. Okay, not right now. I'm tired. I just got home. Give me a second. I'll get it. After a while, you know, about 30, 45 minutes pass, and then I hear all of a sudden, crash. So, of course, I'm arrested from my comfortable seat in the recliner. I run to the room to go and make sure everybody's okay. And I find Brianna braced up under. It was that big light thing with all the bulbs around it. And she's trying to hold it up to keep it from falling. She's straining because she tried to do it herself. Struggling because she didn't want to wait. And I wanted to walk in and be Heathcliff Huxtable. I wanted to. You got to give that altar offering, even if you got to limp to the altar. Hallelujah. Listen. I wanted to be like Ward Cleaver. I did. I wanted to be really philosophical and take my time and express to her, Brianna, baby, I told you I was going to do it. But I couldn't do that. I came in there like a dude off the Proud Family. I can't think of his name. But I came in there, what are you doing? Why didn't you wait? I told you I was going to do it. And while I'm yelling, she's still struggling. Sister April, she's struggling because she wouldn't allow her trust in me to be enough. And so here we are calling on God, Ariel, help me, Lord. And God comes in. What are you doing? Why didn't you wait? You not waiting cost you more. You not waiting took you longer. You not waiting has frustrated you. I wanted you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Somebody just shout, I got to wait on him. I got to wait on him. The last thing I want to do in a moment of need, Brother Carlos, is to exhaust the patience of God. I don't want to do that. Isaiah says, all right, you've exhausted it. So I want you to hear these words. He says to him in verse 14, all right, the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I wonder if we fully catch the fact that this is God saying, I'm going to give you proof. Here's the sign that I'm going to come through. Here's the sign that I'm going to make sure it's right in the end. Here's the sign that you will not be defeated. You might be disappointed, but you won't be. Here is the way you'll know. Here's the proof that I'm going to give you. A virgin will conceive. Don't you miss that before you run past that. Don't you let all of the Christmases that you have seen dull you and diminish the value of the fact that when God wants to prove himself, he many times will give you a sample miracle to let you know the real miracle is on the way. Y'all ain't talking to me. You've been saying too long. You've forgotten that virgins ain't supposed to get pregnant. We say it so often that it has lost its weight in our lives. The Lord says, here's the proof that you need, that I'm going to fix everything in your life that needs to be fixed. I'm going to make the impossible happen as a way for you to understand I can make the impossible happen. Y'all ain't shouting yet. I'm going to do what can't be done in order for you to know I can do what can't be done. I'm going to change the course of nature so you will know I can change the course of... Is anybody tearing out? I'm just... Tell your neighbor, he'll give you a sign. He says to us, Brother Kevin, the sign you need is a sample of who I am. The virgin will conceive. I hear you, Holy Spirit. I just need to speak to about 18 of y'all prophetically. If I hit you, then you just jump up and receive it in your own spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you, even now, God is about to disturb stuff so much that what you thought was impossible is about to happen. This is the absolute greatest moment for your life. The Lord is setting some stuff up that is not supposed to happen, and it happens so that he will prove to you that he can make it. I think I got 18. I just need just y'all, nobody else, to receive the fact that God is getting ready to do something unusual, abnormal, despite what nature would call for in your life. He's getting ready to make it happen. He's getting ready to make it happen. Somebody ought to shout, he's getting ready to make it happen. As a matter of fact, by the time it's all said and done, you're going to look back and think to yourself, I have never, as a matter of fact, this is going to be somebody's testimony. I have never seen it done like that before. Y'all ain't hear me. I'm trying to keep myself together right now because I hear the Holy Ghost saying, I am about to blow your freaking mind. The Holy Ghost didn't say freaking, that's my part. The Lord is about to shake it up so good that eyes haven't seen, God, I feel you now, ears haven't heard. Ain't nobody ever got it the way you're about to get it. Here's what's real. The Lord told me to tell you, you're the virgin. Woo! I hear the Lord now. I hear. He told me to tell you, it's never happened for you like that. And God's going to make it happen in such a way, it's going to blow yours and your family. Listen, you're going to mess up the whole family reunion next year with this testimony. God's getting ready to do. Can I just take about 28 seconds to thank God for the miracle that's about to happen in my... Woo! God, I bless you. God, I bless you. It's not supposed to happen this fast. You're too young for it to happen. You're too old for it to happen. You don't have enough credit for it to happen. You don't have enough experience for it to happen. And the Lord still says, it's gonna happen. I don't care what the rules are. I don't care what the law says. I'm about to change the whole course of nature just to bless you.
God, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. Oh my God. Wait, watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. Who am I talking to? Let me just ask. Who am I? Because I want to know who I can expect to see praising real crazy over the next 28 days. I just want to know who is the one that's going to be giving God praise. We're going to be trying to move on in the service, but you're going to be holding us up. Because every time you think about it. Oh! Woo! Somebody shout, it's about to happen, it's about to happen. The virgin will conceive. Somebody's going to post that on Facebook and the people going to look at the picture of your children and they're going to be like, this chick has lost her mind. I'm about to post that. I'm going to post that as soon as we get out of church. I'm the virgin that's about to conceive. I'm the new person that God is about to fix it for. Listen, listen. I've been seeing God work. But what God is getting ready to do, I ain't never seen him do it like that before. Woo! I ain't never seen him come through like that before. I wish I could talk to somebody. God is getting ready to give you a miracle that you did not think you would qualify for. You ain't even been saved long enough for God to do what he's getting ready to do. But somebody ought to open your mouth and shout, I'm ready. I know I'm ready. And so I'm going to tell you, like I told you at the beginning of the year, I'm still getting ready to see something I've never seen before. God is still telling me there's more, there's more, there's more. Would you give your neighbor a high five and tell him that God's not through with you? He's still got more for you. He's still got another blessing. He's still got another miracle. He's still got another answer. And if you can learn how to wait on the Lord, trust in him, hope in him, tell your neighbor he will come through. Wait, I got to tell you at least one more thing. Let me tell you at least one more thing. Listen, listen, watch the text. He says, here's the sign. Tell your neighbor, this is just a sign. Okay, wait, I'm going to have to, let me leave my notes for a hot second. Maria, here's what he's saying to you. He's saying to you that the thing that's about to happen next is the sign for what's about to happen. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but the Lord just said that this is just a sign of something bigger that's about to happen. Ah! Wait a minute. Yeah. Melita. The miracle. The next miracle. That God does in your life. Is a sign. Of the other thing. So here's what the Lord is saying to you, Don. You got to be thinking at least two miracles ahead. Yeah.
Because if all you got is one miracle, you ain't got enough for God to be God in your life. If you only need one blessing, you ain't got enough for God to be God. Lord, I feel like preaching. Okay, wait, I got to tell you one more thing, and we out of here. One more thing. He says, this is the sign. Tell your neighbor, it's his sign. Now, y'all know what a sign is, don't you? You know what a sign is. Most of you affix your signature. Whenever you want to certify something, whenever you want to validate or authenticate something, whenever you want somebody to know that it did come from you, you put your signature on it. Y'all ain't talking to me. Whenever you can't be where you need to be, you can send a document on your behalf. And the document, in order to validate and be authentic, it's got to have your signature. That is the distinctive pattern, product, or characteristic by which something or someone can be identified. Y'all ain't, I'm about to jump clean out of this. Listen, the Lord is saying that the next miracle that he gives to you is going to be his signature that everything that's happening in your life has been validated with victory. It's been authenticated in glory. Have I got one witness? We got to get out of here, but somebody ought to grab your neighbor and tell him God is about to sign some stuff for your life. Have I got a witness? Is there anybody in here that can say, I know God has got his signature on my life, that the next miracle he brings, it's going to be God validating everything he's doing. So please be patient. God's not through with me yet. That's why I'm singing with the Israelites. I want Emmanuel to come and validate my life. People been calling me crazy for believing like I've been believing. But when Emmanuel comes, he's gonna validate my life. You ought to give your neighbor a high five and tell him God's getting ready. You ain't talking to your neighbor. Tell him God's getting ready to validate your life. He's gonna authenticate your trouble. He's gonna legitimize your strain. So can we sing the song with new meaning? Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. That's what we got to remember, that Emmanuel means God is with us. That's the sign, y'all. You ain't hear that. God is with me. Tell three people that look like they need to know that God is with me. God is with me. So what is it that you're waiting on? I'm waiting on God to sign my life. I'm waiting on God to sign my test. I'm waiting on God to sign me up out of here and let my victory show up so that everybody who's been watching will be able to understand that I know that God will come through. Why is it that you're waiting, hoping on the Lord? Because the word of God tells me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting ready to mount up. I'm getting ready to mount up. I'm getting ready to mount up. Because God has signed my life. Open your mouth. Give him praise.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-699-7962. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 350414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 8050 Lone Star Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill.